Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Awesome. That was an awesome illustration. Should have brought my tap shoes, but I couldn't find them. Anyone else? I don't have tap shoes. I'm trying to be honest. Well, as Glenn just said, we're going to be jumping in to set apart our new sermon series of 1 Peter. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you have a Bible, open or turn it on. If you want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 12, that's what we'll be looking at for a couple minutes this morning. The sermon series is called Set Apart, and it's kind of two different usage of the word set apart. As we're looking in 1 Peter, especially the Bible, in 1 Peter, you see this picture of setting apart Christ in our hearts, being holy like Christ is holy, and that's an internal decision, an internal change, a work of the Holy Spirit. But because of that, it then makes us set apart even in the world. I was listening to a message recently, and I really like how one pastor said that, you know, if as Christians, Christ followers, those who are exploring Christ, we're glad you're here. But for those who are Christians, if our life and maybe our friendships and our marriage and our finances and our resources looks just like everyone else in the world that doesn't know Jesus, then maybe we're not following Christ very closely, because we're called to be set apart. We're called to be holy as Christ is holy. Are you with me? There should be something different, you know. Jesus says it's better to give than to receive. You should love everyone, including your enemies. It's better to lose your life for Jesus than to lose it and gain this whole world. There's almost like an upside down kind of paradigm that Jesus would share. So we're going to be looking at 1 Peter, and just a little bit of information on 1 Peter. Many scholars see Peter writing around 62, maybe 64 AD, right around the same time as the Great Persecution broke out with Nero. And if you know about this, it was just a brutal persecution and torture of Christians. And you can look it up if you like, but I won't go into details. And so we're seeing Christians who are in a place of persecution, not just, you know, oh, difficulties, or I got pulled over by a cop because I had a Jesus, you know, sticker on my car and I was speeding. That's actually not persecution. That's just speeding. Just in case you're like, I knew it. That's what happened this morning. That's just speeding. Real persecution, people trying to literally take your life and eliminate you. Peter was one of the followers of Jesus Christ. His name was originally Simon or Simeon, and it was later to Peter. His Aramaic name was Cephas, and he was also referred to as the Rock way before Dwayne Johnson started using that title, if you know who that guy is. If you don't, it's probably better that way. but he's addressing the Christians as strangers on this earth, or as pilgrims, as people passing through, and really as Christians, this isn't our home. I'm going to re-loop on this in a moment. But let's look at the passage this morning in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. So Peter's starting off with a greeting. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the Dispersia and Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Can we get an amen? Yes. Come on, you read that. It's like, yeah, come on. Thank you, Jesus. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. And like I mentioned, they're in a place of scattered and persecution, real persecution. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that were serving not themselves, but you, and the things that you have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we thank you for the word you gave Peter 2,000 years ago to encourage Christians going through difficult times. But Lord, we pray that you would speak to us afresh through your word. God, we're going all through different things, God. Maybe not this kind of persecution, but God, we face challenges and struggles. And God, I pray that you would speak life and speak encouragement to us afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Peter's writing, you'll see this throughout this book, but Christians be referred to as pilgrims or strangers in this world. And I just wanted to highlight that just for a moment, the idea that this world isn't our home. This isn't the final resting place. God makes it clear in the Bible that, you know, this life is temporary, but if you know Jesus Christ and receive the good news of Jesus and the forgiveness of your sins, you can have eternity with him forever. Isn't that awesome? Forever with Jesus. So what's happening right now, even not to diminish how, like, you know, what happens here, but really, this, we're just passing through. This is highlighted elsewhere in the New Testament. Ephesians 2:19 says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." As I was just doing some reading this past week, I came across a quote by C.S. Lewis, the author of The Chronicles of Narnia and also many other books. But from Mere Christianity, it says this, which I like how he worded this. "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, then that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably, earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. If that is so, I must take care, on the one hand, never to despise or be unthankful for these earthly blessings, and on the other hand, never to mistake them for something else on which they are only a kind of copy or an echo or a mirage. I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find till after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. I must make it the main object of the life to press on to that country and to help others do the same." You ever get so stuck focusing on worldly things that you miss or don't think about often heavenly things? There's two big engines that cause that. I mean, obviously, there's a sin engine. We're falling. We need God's grace. But two things that can distract us in a big way is difficulties. If you're going through challenges, so focus on them because they're real. And if there's pain there, that might be an everyday thing. It can kind of take our focus off of Christ and how he's at the right hand of God interceding for you. But also, another thing that can take us off our focus from God and the big picture is success, right? Become so successful, why do I need God, right? Everything's going well. I'm healthy. You know, maybe I've got the good career, got the right friend, the right spouse, or the right amount of money, or maybe just a little bit more money, right? And we lose that picture. But for this context, the Christians are in a suffering place, and Peter's posture is one of great encouragement through the whole text. So I just want to briefly just highlight a couple of things this morning. It's going to be kind of quick because we had a lot of really, I think, awesome time in prayer and testimonies. But I want to just look at a couple of things. So we looked at the greeting. He's referring to those who are in a place of persecution and remembering the difference that God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you see that triune imagery all in one sentence as he starts out. But I want to move on just quickly this morning. Jesus Christ is our living hope. You ever hope in something and then it doesn't come to pass? Right? Maybe it's like friendship or relationship or job or career or just I'm really hoping for this and it doesn't come to pass. And especially if you bank a lot into it, it can be just so devastating. The beautiful thing about Christ, Jesus came, he lived, and he died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And I can't imagine the despair his disciples had while he was in the grave, because they had been following him. Peter was one of them, and the other disciples, Jesus' mother, Mary, his brother, James. I can't imagine what they were feeling. But as we know, he didn't stay in the grave. He was raised 3 days later from the grave, resurrected from the dead, and he's with God on high. We have a living hope. If you're here this morning and you're feeling hopeless, maybe you're feeling like hope is no longer part of my vocabulary, you can sometimes get to a very dark place. And sometimes the most darkest places I've talked or experienced with people or whatever is when you think there's no more hope in life and you don't see any hope in the future. And that's like one of the worst places to be. Because then it can go logically and cognitively in your mind, if I don't see hope and I don't see any hope in the future, then why should I even wake up tomorrow? It's a logical process. But I want to let you know that there is a living hope, that Christ is alive and he is well and he's reigning on high and he cares about you and loves you. And for maybe just one person this morning, but if you're in a place of feeling complete, utter hopelessness, I just want to encourage you, there is hope and his name is Jesus. And I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, whatever, but don't leave here in a place of hopelessness and despair. We serve a living God and he is our hope. In verses 6 to 7, Peter talks about testing of faith in trials. That is be more precious than pure gold. And still, even in that day, gold was huge, you know. If you have gold, that's where it's at. Pieces of gold, great value. And even today, if you had a lot of gold, most people would be like, yeah, that's pretty awesome. You don't usually see people exchanging gold for, like, bricks of stone, right? You know, it's just like, oh, yeah, you know, gold, whatever, you can have that. Still, such a value to it. But Peter's saying that the testing of your faith is actually even more worth than gold. Because gold, as beautiful as it is, and it has value, and you can buy things with gold, it doesn't last. It will eventually fade away. But our faith in Christ, as it's growing, that's something that can last for eternity because it's based in Christ. So this morning, are you going through something difficult that you're having a hard time focusing on Jesus? I want to encourage you, keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on the living hope. That is how we go through, and that's how the ancients and the Bible, who were just great men and women of faith, they just kept focused on God. You can be in the same situation, same circumstances, in a difficult spot, but with Christ, you can say, okay, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't really know what's happening, but I'm going to trust you. And you can grow in faith. Yes, you can become better. Or you can become bitter. If you're like, God, this difficulty is too hard. I'm no longer going to trust you. And sometimes we can go back and forth between bitter and better. Anybody with me? I've done that. It's like, oh, yeah, Lord, I got you. I'm like, God, how could you leave me out of that? You know what I mean? It's like, come on. It's like, man, where's the sovereignty thing at? You know, God's sovereign. And he has plans and purposes that are way above any of ours. Peter encourages his listeners to love God, whom they have not seen. Many of those who would have been receiving this letter have not seen Jesus. Peter had the privilege of actually seeing Jesus walk on the planet. He was actually one of the close friends with Jesus. Jesus kind of had like an inner circle with John and James. And so he's seen Jesus, but he's encouraging. And for us, we haven't actually seen Jesus in the flesh. But he's saying, the one you love, keep loving on him, even though you haven't seen him. And that also takes faith to believe that there is a God who loves you and cares for you. And that encouragement, I believe, is for us this morning too. Continue to love God, even though you have not seen him. In the last part of this section, he talks about how salvation, which is the whole theme, Christ being that living hope, was prophesied, or individuals in the Old Testament would get a word from God about the future, which is prophecy. And they were longing to see when this Messiah, when Christ would come and make these things happen. And Peter's saying that, you know, we have actually experienced that. You know, Jesus has come. What people were longing for is actual reality, and just happened just a couple years earlier. He also mentions at the end about angels, which is kind of neat. When you think of heaven, then you often think of angels. But angels long to look into these matters. Just a quick aside on angels. In Luke 10, or Luke 15, or 10, 15, or Luke 15. Every time someone comes to know Jesus Christ, it says all of heaven rejoices. All the angels get excited. They're just having a party. You guys know that verse? Everyone just gets so excited. It's like, yeah, all heaven. Every time someone's like, you know what, Lord, I need you. Would you forgive me of my sins? I want to follow you. All heaven rejoices. And the angels long to look into the salvation plan. They long to look to see what their creator had in store for us, for humans. So this is a quick start. But I want to invite the musicians up as we'll be wrapping up in a moment. And I want to give you an invitation as we're going to be having a time to respond in a song. Is there a place in your heart that Jesus is not Lord of? There's a song I really like. The words are very simple. It's by Tim Hughes. It's called Everything. And talks about God being my everything, and my working, and my thinking, and my sleeping, and my dreaming, and my pain, and my mourning, and my healing. Everything. Every single area of life. Is there an area of life this morning that you feel maybe the Lord's prompting in your heart? God, I want you to be Lord over that. I want to be set apart in that area. Maybe we've been trying to be Lord of that area. And the best place to be able to just have God be Lord is just literally through surrender. I want to encourage you to lay down that area of your life. Or maybe for some, it's your entire life. You've never given your life over to the Lord. You're like, I would love to have a relationship with Jesus. You can do that this morning. One of my favorite themes in movies and books is when there's a valiant man or woman who comes in on the scene in a dire moment and does like a sacrificial play to save somebody or a bunch of people. I get teary-eyed when I think about it, because in those moments, especially if like it's an action movie or something, someone's like, you know what, I'm going to go back in the boat, make sure everybody's okay and you guys move on, or I'm going to take out this horde of armies or whatever so everyone else can live. It often makes me think about the greatest rescue mission that ever happened was when Jesus came down to earth to die on the cross for you and for me. It's a beautiful rescue mission. It's a powerful one, and it cost Jesus everything. And so I just want to pray. In a moment, we're going to just declare that in song as before the benediction. God, thank you, Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are indeed a great God, that you are greater and more powerful than anything or anyone in this whole world, both now and forevermore. God, there is none like you. And God, I pray that we could fall down in our heart and maybe in areas of pride this morning, be like, God, would you be Lord afresh in this scenario of my life? God, would you be a Lord and afresh in my whole life? God, may nothing I have be held in the shadows, Lord. May you illuminate my soul. God, may I let go of fear and hopelessness and depression and cling on to Jesus closer than anything or anyone. God, I pray that we could give you everything because you gave everything for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we finish with this song before the benediction.
Be lifted up. giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy.
Wonderful God we serve. He's faithful. He's a friend. He's close to the brokenhearted. He's 24/7 available. What a great friendship, right? I want to invite up Jane. She just Lord's been speaking to her. It just feels like Lord has put a word on her heart before we close with a benediction.
Okay. And as we were singing, worshiping this morning, one phrase was, "These bones will praise you." And as we were singing that, I saw as a vision of bones really rising up. And that's true. These bones, the bones that make up our bodies, will rise when we die. They will rise up and praise God. And we sang, out of the ashes we rise. Even if we're cremated, out of the ashes we will rise. That is our hope. That is the eternal hope that we have. And so as we have this natural body, so we will have a spiritual body. That is God's promise. And that is the living hope. And I want to be where you are. We just sang that. Where Jesus is heaven. We have that assurance of heaven if we know Jesus Christ. That is our living hope.
Thank you, Jane. I invite you to stand if you're able to, just for the benediction. Following the benediction, while prayer team's up here, who I'll invite up front now. We'd love to pray for you. If there's any way we can be praying for you or for others, we believe that God has the power to move. And when we pray, God moves in really neat ways. So we'd love to pray for you. But also, a fellowship time will be happening just after the close of the service in our fellowship hall through the doors over here and across the lobby. Be encouraged with these verses from the passage we read. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading." And God, I just want to thank you, Lord, that God, you would go to the cross for us. And God, I pray that today, when Monday comes in, tomorrow, God, throughout this week, that we could look at Christ first. God, that we would put our energies and our thoughts and our resources and the things that will last, which is a relationship with you and loving others, God. Lord, may you be glorified in and through us this week, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week.